blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by a compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by a compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by a compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the stole of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time, oh, happy blessed path, oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that for those who are newer to practice, there's fat cats in the corner. You'd like to take advantage of that. So what shall we look at this morning? Tom.
First of all, call it conditioning. It almost had me in a believable story. Saying, now that I'm alone, I'm not supposed to share on Sundays. It's reserved for neighbors and visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just felt like that.
Okay, that's obviously absurd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing that we could be talked into believing things that are just so out there.
Yeah.
The other monks are sharing.
Right. Like, there's a distinction between group days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I didn't buy that one. And a process that I've been in just recently is double reverse projection.
So in case anybody doesn't know what that means,
yeah.
You're projecting that someone else is projecting onto you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the Sherry Cole cards we have by our tea cabinet, this morning it just caught my attention. It says, if you want to know how you were conditioned as a child, see how you treat yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I'm having this karmic opportunity to look at asking for help and support, and the
which is a necessary part of monastic life.
A very necessary part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I was guided on. For the most part, the monastery is not going to ask what you need.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. You have to put out what is your needs and then look at it. Is that a want or a need? And that's what I'm kind of trying to discern. Is conditioning or ego just wanting things? So just a little content. It's gotten a bit colder here at the monastery.
I'll say.
Okay, maybe it's just not me.
I think we're breaking records.
Are we?
I can't remember it ever being this cold.
Oh, thank God.
It was unbelievable.
I thought I was just having a
no, that's
out of body experience.
I can assure you that's not just your projection.
I was like, no, I can't have this. You know, I'm from Canada. It gets to minus 30. I don't know the equivalent of Fahrenheit, but I don't know.
We're probably about what we had last night.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I can't get my feet warm. Because I sleep, like, I just really noticed this at, you know, my previous residence, heated house, to heated car, to heated, you know, residence, to heated business, to heated car, to heated home. And then when I went out, I don't know how I really, it didn't go up very long, you know. So I'm like, why are my feet cold? And then it's like, okay. So
no,
I just,
no heat, for one thing.
And of course, So I'm in deprivation, stingy, you know, and I've been encouraged, you know, just middle way. You know, I'm in a hermitage that has propane. But God forbid I turn that knob on, because I get the double verse projection coming at me like, God, if they're refilling your tank every day, what does that mean about you?
Yeah, gosh, it's amazing. And that conversation is happening completely out of context.
Yeah, totally.
And projecting the monastery doesn't want you to have what you need. And exactly. It wants you to be warm and comfortable. And
Yeah. So I just got a little checked in last night, because I finally got up the nerve, or went through the karma, I don't know what I did, but maybe the willingness or the being said, we got to ask for help here. Because I couldn't sleep. I'm just not sleeping, which doesn't make for a great next day, in my experience. And I would post to Jesus, you know, I think it's okay if you would have the, you know, all this, you know, even
the alone was,
it's like I'm
patting it.
Yeah, like I'm asking for, God, I don't know, the Queen's jewels or something. It was just insane. I'm like, a couple pairs of winter socks, maybe a wool blend. I don't know, you know, because mine are these thin little summer, you know, anklets, you know, you wear with sandals. So the guest master checks in with me and says, you know, last night it was just, you know, fortuitous life, checking his life, saying, how you doing? And I go, well actually, my feet are freezing and I'm not sleeping and blah, blah, blah. Oh, well. And maybe, is there a hot water bottle available? Oh, absolutely. And there's socks and heavier sheets, like, here you go.
Yeah, and all you had to do was ask.
All I had to do was ask. It just blew my mind that I was kept in this small little place, and I got my gear last night. I got back to my hermitage, my hot water bottle, my heavier sheets, my socks, and slept through the whole night. It just clearly showed.
Right. If there was any doubt about whether or not the voices care about us and our little being, that just erased it.
That just erased it.
Yeah. It would. It prefers to have you in a you might say abusive relationship with it.
Yes.
Over your needs and.
Yes.
Instead of, I mean, it's one of the things I actually really like about the monastic setting is we are required, we live in a community, and so we can't just sort of take care of our needs in the way conditioning wants to. We have to communicate in order to do that.
Right.
And we can have our needs taken care of if we do that. And so it just puts us right up against that place of isolation and control and autonomy and I'm in charge and all that. We have to give all that up in order to have what we need. Which, of course, is the whole point of monastic training. So yes. It really works well.
It really works well when you get dialed into the system.
Yeah. Well, plus, you have to experience the consequences.
That's right.
Which you don't. I mean, I imagine, you have to say probably in the world that you do also because, you know, hideous things happen as a result of being unconscious and in collusion with conditions and all that. But then we have more conditioned ways of surviving that, and so we can just kind of spin off in conditioning forever around everything. But you just can't do that here. I mean, it just doesn't work because the consequences are there, and then the condition that comes up to try to survive those consequences is another consequence that is painful and difficult. And at some point, we have to, I think this is what you're saying, we have to be willing to step through and out of that barrier and out of the isolation into a communication with life in the form of the monastery that will help us get what we need.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly it. So it's a big thing I'm looking at. And it's just at every turn. I didn't realize how pervasive it was. I'm writing this letter of commitment, letter of intention for the next year of master practice, and it's at every corner. Mm-hmm. It's what are they going to think of this letter? And you've got to edit, and you've got to censor, and this is okay to talk about? You certainly can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just saw that these messages from childhood, this internal later, but certainly externally young, of judgment and criticism, like, well, what's wrong with you? Or, you know, why'd you do that? Or, well, that was stupid. Or, you know, and as I'm writing this letter, I could just see condition come in like, oh, that's going to look stupid. Or, boy, they're really going to judge you on that. Or, that's going to, you know, eliminate this possibility, which is the absolute projection of the opposite. It's actually opening up possibilities.
It definitely is. Yeah. It definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just, I mean, of course, I've been around the block a good time or two with that. And what I've noticed is, well, a couple of things. One is, and this has to be, you know, experience that we gather over time, but I've never gotten anything else. I've never gotten anything back but unconditional love and acceptance for my needs and wants. That doesn't mean I've always gotten what ego wanted, but... I've never gotten anything other than that. Another little trick I've noticed is you can communicate about what you're saying. And so to put yourself in a position of sort of editing and, you know, I'm not going to communicate that, I am going to communicate that, is the same process as you're describing of not communicating about, like, the cold, just on the next level up. And so it is possible to, what I've noticed really works in the sense of assisting in bringing clarity is here is what occurs to me that I want or need. Here's what I see about that. And it's not the padding, you know, trying to get it through the system somehow.
Yeah.
Using the right language that it'll get through the system.
Yeah.
And it's also not, well, I'm just not going to talk about that because that's too threatening to ego.
Yeah.
It's putting it out there, but it's putting it out there in a context of, you know, seeing and what you've been attending to.
Yeah.
And that's helpful for the monastery also, because that really helps, I know that it really helps in deciding what to do about that when the monastery can see what a person's looking at around that.
Yes, that's been very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
One more little thing occurs to me is just not to assume that what you want is not okay also.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's not just what you need. And sometimes what you want is completely okay too.
Yeah, there's a huge belief that I can't have now that I'm a monk what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Wants are gone. That's part of the belief system.
Yep.
Monk means not wanting.
Right.
A good monk is not wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you if you're not a monk in the room who has that experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, Virginia.
Good morning. I really wanted to share this morning because I feel like I have karma around not sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being told I have nothing to say and, yada yada. I think maybe this morning I could talk about assumptions though, because I just assumed that it was normally this cold here. And then everybody was walking around like, no, you know, this is usual.
Yeah, the reality is, I don't know how it is for the other monks, but it's like, you know, we've been in this a long time, and so we have, you know, what we feel like is the stuff that we need to survive in this environment. And I'm looking at my, and I'm going, boy, I'm just right on the edge.
One less degree.
Yeah. Below 20. Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to know what it is either. Mm-hmm. I don't want the number. But also, you know, this morning I came out from breakfast. Here's another assumption. I have to say, I came out from breakfast and by the message board there was a pair of socks that looked, well, when I came up this morning I had my fresh clothes, I was going to take a shower and I shoved things in there including socks and I saw someone had left a pair of socks near the message board that looked just like mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed that I had dropped mine on the way. And as soon as I saw the socks, I was like, oh no.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there they are. I hadn't missed them yet. I thought, oh no, they had dropped. And like, it was like, you know, leave no trace and you're dropping your clothes. but now it occurs to me that they may not have even been my socks. Right? It's an assumption.
Yeah, monastic life is a good thing.
Yeah. So I will just check that out. I guess it's important. That's what I'm saying is maybe it's important. It was just automatic.
It was automatic.
Mm-hmm. And part of it was that conditioned mind telling me you did something wrong. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is, especially since, you know, around, like we were kind of like we were saying a minute ago, everything here happens in a context of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no unacceptable thought or behavior or even assumption or better idea or all these things that we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, really everything is about seeing. And so, you know, that's, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll do something and that comes from some, like a place of assumption or some kind of place of unconsciousness that provides a spiritual opportunity for someone else. Like in this case, whoever actually the socks were meant for, possibly. I guess that sounds like we don't know.
Yeah.
But that's all okay too. Because that other person's paying attention and we all benefit. And we're all, of course, trying to be as conscious and present as we can. It's not like we're trying to produce those kind of experiences for other people.
Right.
But it is nice that it's in a context where everyone is doing that work.
Yes.
And so everything is okay. Everything's for our benefit in a way.
And that is so different.
Mm-hmm.
That's so different to what I what condition tells me, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But everything is held in a place of complete acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that, I'm guessing that was your experience around that assumption this morning, too. In you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You mean, let me see if I understand, you mean that once I was able at some point to hold that in acceptance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nice, isn't it? It's nice to see how that works. Nice to see how the process of assumption works. Nice to see how automatic that is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's an application there that's, you know, can go all through life. And nice also to see that it's possible to see and to, you know, receive these kind of workshops from life in a way that doesn't have to log with eating and feeling bad and all that stuff conditioning you want to do with it.
Right. So this would be a good thing to record on. Is it a way to, that what you started out by saying, that the way to see how it applies in other areas of life, just to get it on recording and let it go?
Definitely. Yeah. Boy, I'm glad you said that, because that's so much my experience. And just how the process of assumption works. Because then, you know, if you're listening to it and it's cycling back through, then that's going to be in your awareness, and you'll more and more see how that's happening.
Yeah.
It really is a powerful. I've been having that experience a lot. That's why I kind of go with that. But it's a really powerful tool.
Yeah, and I go with it partly too, so that I don't have to noodle it. It doesn't have to get noodled by a conditioned mind, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you just saw it. You saw how that worked. Don't need to have any more conversation about it, but you can get it on a recording where that insight can continue to assist you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew.
I'm having kind of a changing or maybe a crumbling of an idea, a belief. The original idea was that the way out is around. You don't have to do anything about what's in your way. You can get where you want to be by going around what's in your way. Then it was the way out is through, that you could just kind of go, you get faced with something, and if you go through that, then you get where you want to be. And now it's more like, maybe there isn't a way out. Not in a bad way, but there's no real reason to try to get around anything or through anything. It's more of, I guess it's that willingness, I'll go to this place, or a place will open up, that's just kind of bring it on. And that's what I'll face. And there's not really like getting anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting into that space where all that stuff gets cleaned up. And we're not going to another place. We're in the place that's the out.
Yeah. I think it gets even better than that, because I don't even think it doesn't seem to me like there's a thing to get past.
It seems like in that place, I'm not trying to get through or out or avoid or anything. I'm in the place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff there to see, or that seems to be like it needs to be cleaned up, because I'm still too much in stimulus response in that. There's something will stimulate, and then it's to jump me out of that place.
I see, yeah. So there's we might say, like karmic behaviors or karmic thought patterns or like that.
Or both, yeah.
Or both that are happening.
Yeah.
There's nothing real in those. Which I can't tell, but at least been, I'm projecting in my experience, you know, that point of view that says there's a something there that I have to get around or get through, or like be in relationship with, sort of, it makes something real that isn't necessarily real.
And it's all to the whole quote unquote real is that if I can manufacture something and do the relationship thing in the world of duality, then I can always not be in the place that would clean all that up.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's not real when I'm cleaning it up, it seems like that's what I'm supposed to do, or that's the spot that'll end the suffering, around trying to get around something or over something or through it or trying to get where I want to get. It seems very fabricated it's kind of crumbling right now. I still am attached to the, I got to go through stuff to get where I want to be.
Right. Yeah, and it's tricky because, of course, from a, you know, a Zen perspective, you know, there is no you. So, and there is nowhere to get, there's nowhere to be. You know, all of those things, it seems like, are assumptions from conditioned mind. And so all of that is a, we might say, is a kind of an illusion perpetuated by kind of the habits of thought that we were, you know, given when we were conditioned.
Yeah, when I open up to all of what you're saying, that those are, I can let go of those beliefs, this spot opens up. I don't even know if it's necessarily where I want to be from a condition, certainly isn't from a condition, but it's not like a goal of mine. Mm-hmm. It just opens up and there I am. Mm-hmm. Without the whole you thing there. Mm-hmm. And stuff's starting to get removed, and the freeness and all that starts, and there's nowhere else to get.
Yeah, you're just here, basically.
Yeah.
And here, none of that stuff exists. Yeah, it's interesting because, I don't know if this is so or not, but it seems to me like that there's kind of a progression that we go through as we do practice, where the first attitude of mind, I don't know, I'll have to look at this, but it seems like it's almost like a necessary step. At first there's just unconsciousness. There is no awareness of these things that are happening, you know, these karmic patterns that we believe in that cause us to suffer and cause us also to sabotage our lives and do, you know, things that we don't want to do. And then we sort of like we discover that awareness can reveal those things, and then there's a period of time where we kind of put ourselves in charge of that and attempt to see and get through and all, you know. But then at some point, it feels like we have to let go of that also, because ultimately what we're going for is not being as somebody who's in relationship to karma, but just being in the way that you're saying.
Yeah, so those ideas, the first kind of set are crumbling. They really are kind of, yeah, they're crumbling because they're not functioning. They don't function in that spot you're pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work. They don't get the. They don't function.
Well, they don't ultimately get you what you're looking for, because I'm projecting that what you're looking for is just that quality of being.
Yeah, at first I was looking for, okay, bring it on, bring on all these demons, bring on all the terror, scare me witless, I'm going to face all this stuff and we're going to wake up.
Which, when the karma seems real, is a completely appropriate response.
And then when I sit facing a wall and I say, bring all that stuff on, it's, wait a second,
You don't need to because you're here.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I am.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it? That there's a different ways, sort of different levels of reality, you might say, in our perception of these things that we're dealing with, and sort of different levels of appropriate response based on what seems real right now.
That place is bring it on. It's without self-will saying bring it on. That place is aware and attentive and can attend to anything that happens to come up.
Yeah, it's not resisting anything. It's not trying to avoid anything. But it's also not trying to get somewhere.
It's not trying to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to get through this to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's where it is. Yeah, yeah.
It's just being here.
Right, yeah, and this practice seems to be just, I would say maybe 45 minutes ago, that we're not gonna avoid anything to get somewhere. We're not gonna get through anything to get somewhere. We're gonna get here. We're not even gonna get here. It's,
mm-hmm.
We can be here, and. And that's what's going on, is dust getting burned away, bring it on's happening, because I'm present.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't any, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That doesn't mean now we can clean up stuff.
Right, because from that place there isn't anything to clean up.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think this is a piece of what, you know, that old story. It's where the Buddha says, you know, the Dharma, you know, the practice is a raft to get to the far shore. You know, we're going from the world of unconsciousness to a world of a possibility of presence. But then when we get to the far shore, we have to set down the raft. You know, we have to leave the camp. You don't pick up the raft, put it on your head, keep on going. You leave the raft behind because it's like the method is no longer, it becomes a hindrance instead of an assistant.
That's good. That is kind of advanced. As far as the whole crumbling thing, I have little pieces that are attached to the walk of the raft on land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, that's why it doesn't work. That's what's not functional about that. Mm-hmm. That those rules don't work on land.
Well, it makes sense because we're so used to being in that kind of relationship, even through practice in a way, with egocentric karmic conditioning. You know, there's all kinds of like assumptions that get embedded in practice, like it's evil, or it's out to get me, or...
Or I'm a monk now, so I can't have this, and this.
On a different level. Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing. And whereas it just isn't. You know, it's just made up. But that's another piece of what we have to let go of, is that perspective that makes us into a somebody, you know, doing practice, a somebody using the tools, instead of just those things kind of functioning on their own as we are here.
Yeah, and I am sitting here, certainly, and sitting facing a blank wall even more. The willingness to do all that seems to make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of that, there it is. There it is for you right here. Mm-hmm. Here it is for you. Mm-hmm. Here it is. That's
here it is.
It's not even for you. It's here it is.
Mm-hmm. Jim.
I just want to witness for recording and listening.
Cool.
It ebbs and flows for me. Mm-hmm. And it has. That might not be true in the future. I don't know.
I bet it does. It does for me too. I bet it does for everybody.
It seems like the place that I've gotten kind of bamboozled with it is not being able to make recordings that are true or are authentic. Not being able to speak from the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Or being able to make recordings that are something other than basically a subtle exposition of what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or recordings that are just kind of, let's see, yeah, that was it. There's always, or has been, just that subtle undercurrent of I need to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And with time and with practice and with, you know, what we're talking about, that's evolving. Mm-hmm. That's changing. Mm-hmm. It's the mentor is showing up. Recordings are actually helpful. You know, help do the work that we do them for.
Mm-hmm. It's shown you that subtle form of self-judgment, for one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's really all I wanted to say is that for me, for others, it's just, it just evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Do you ever record just like the insights you've had about things? Like that, like, I see how in my recordings there's this subtle tinge of self-judgment.
Never thought of doing that.
Because it just occurred to me that comes from an authentic place.
Hmm. Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to imagine if self-hate could turn that into something to feel like something that's wrong that needs to be fixed, and it probably could. But be tricky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it'll continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? And helpful. Yeah, it really is. I don't know if it's your experience, but it being engaged with something where we're sort of required to do that really helps us to learn. Helps us learn about what is authentic and what's the mentoring, yeah. Because we're engaged with it, doing it instead of just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Alex.
Really resonated with that suggestion of how to approach recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
The basically recording something that's authentic, which is what's really going on.
What's going on right now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. part of the way I feel like I get bamboozled is I think that what's going on isn't okay in some way, and therefore I can't look at it. I can't address it. It's almost like what we started looking at with like the needs and wants and things like that,
mm-hmm.
is that because my life is this way, I can't look at that any longer. Like, somehow there's this belief that this thing that has come up is needs to be looked at from the corner of my eye, but barely. Like, I can't address it, really.
I see. Just so I can understand. So is it kind of like the way I am is not okay or is bad or something?
Something
and so
about
I need
that.
To be... I need to be this way, not that way, so I can't look at the karma that's there.
Yes, and that it shows up primarily in dissatisfaction. So if I'm dissatisfied about something,
mm-hmm.
it's not okay to be dissatisfied.
Okay, that's a good example.
It's really good because the way it goes is that I need to be on the other side of dissatisfaction. I need to be I need to not be dissatisfied. But see,
yeah.
That's dissatisfaction with dissatisfaction, and it's going to come. You don't own any good place.
Yeah, there is no place to stand.
There isn't, because it keeps feeding the same thing that's causing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's the alternative in terms of what we were just talking
about? Well, I'm glad you asked that. The trick is that it's like, literally like that. This to say it, and it's really like what I heard shared about, like going through or going past,
mm-hmm.
or it's being satisfied with what's going on. So it's basically saying exactly what it is that is going on.
How would you do that in that circumstance?
Okay, well, world, you're a rotten place. You don't give me what I want. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. Nothing is good to be expected from it, and that's just the way it is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, literally, if I could find a person that can actually say something like that and it'd be okay.
I see. Okay.
It just transforms the whole thing. It's like it's literally like giving that
gotcha.
That it's not, well, it's no longer in the corner of my periphery and something that I need to either kick out or ignore. It's almost like saying that's what's there in the background screaming and hollering, and I keep ignoring it.
Yeah, that's what I got too when you said, I didn't understand when you first said that because of the way you said it, but what you're basically saying is, it may not be articulated, but the little phrase that comes before that is something like, here's the thing that I believe that caused me to suffer, or this is something that's not true. Or
exactly, yeah, this is what I'm hearing.
There you go. This is what I'm hearing. Yeah, yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because that comes from an authentic place.
It is.
It's pointing at it.
It is.
And in my experience with that, I've been, I'm glad we're talking about this. This is kind of fun because So I've been doing, I think, what you're saying also. And so you are putting it like an insight like that in there. And then it goes into, you know, the recording pool. Mm-hmm. And then it appears again.
Yes.
As I'm listening. And then sometimes when it appears again, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, right. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when it appears, I see something else about that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And yes. It's just, it might not be a big thing, but I'm like, oh, and. Yes. And then I'll record that.
Right.
And then that goes into the pool. And then
it cycles through. And it's just like all of a sudden stuff starts just to start shaking and quaking and crumbling. It's a really good image, actually.
Yeah, and so it's like the karma is crumbling, and at the same time, it's like we're putting these, we're building something.
Right.
We're building like an understanding of how it works. Mm-hmm.
Almost like a map, you know, in mm-hmm. a way. Like, these are the ways in which I get trapped. I keep hearing it because I'll listen to something like that. That maybe have come may have been recorded a couple of years ago, and it's like, mm-hmm. wow, I could totally relate to that. I could see how that's happening here with this content.
Uh-huh.
So we could shift around from content to content, but uh-huh. it's almost like this little thing that's crawling underground and just pops up over here.
And so what I hear you saying, this seems really helpful. Is it pops up and you name it basically,
yeah.
And you name it on your recorder,
right.
So that you can so. It continues to surface in your awareness, and then it pops up again. Every time it pops up, you name it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's you're pulling it from, instead of it being way over here in your periphery, which is sounds like essentially the same thing as not attending to it, or only just barely attending to it, mm-hmm. into front and center.
Front and center. And it's like the whole picture starts to show up front and center, rather mm-hmm. than just little pieces
little
of a
bits.
Puzzle, like on the corner of here and here. Like mm-hmm. start to picture what this thing is, you know, oh, that's the theme. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it just, that's like, I love those moments where the insight just drops and it's like, wow, that happened. I see how that happens throughout my entire life.
Right.
You know, it's like, and it happened here in high school, and it happened here in grade school, it happened here with my mom.
And meanwhile, there's other processes in the satisfaction to satisfaction thing happening that you're doing the same thing with.
Yes.
And of course, they're all related because it's just one big karmic web that we're living inside of.
Yes.
So that picture, I love that. Way of that sort of image and way of you were talking about it, it's like the whole picture is coming together here. Mm-hmm. At first, it's like there's one or two pieces just kind of spinning around. It doesn't make any. But now there's connections and there's, and so it's like all of that is kind of getting put here where I can see it. Mm-hmm. And of course, the beauty of that if I can see it, I'm not it.
Yeah.
I'm in the place of awareness of it, which mm-hmm. is the place of freedom and.
It's a really happy place to be when the karma is just there out in front rather than pieces on the side that I'm ignoring. Because if they're on the side in pieces that I'm ignoring, they're calling the shots. I mean, it's almost like not watching the enemy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just they're sneaking around doing all sorts of stuff in the background and I'm not attending to it.
Yeah, and I think it's really basic conditioning to ignore that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I know I get a lot of feedback from people who don't really understand what I'm doing. Along those lines, why would you want to be looking at all this stuff? Why would you want to be looking at how you cause yourself to suffer?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be going out and doing fun things?
Yeah.
Instead, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what is fun. It is seeing how you cause yourself to suffer in a way that it's really hard to get people to understand. But you know what I'm talking about. Right here, I mean, that's presence, and it's alive, it's full of energy, and it's fun to see stuff, it's fun to see how life works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we were to describe it as the process that, so if you tell me that I'm supposed to go out and have fun, there's an underlayer of something that's preventing me from actually experiencing the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if that could be presented to the world, I think anybody can relate to going on a vacation and not having a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
That's we're breaking through is that barrier that is keeping me from life, and mm-hmm. the only way to do that is to actually address it, not to ignore it, not to plow through it or beat it up or you know anything like that. It's just seeing. That's like what we're doing in meditation.
It's like
it's dropping in. I'm like seeing it clearer and clearer and clearer mm-hmm. until it's like we can't take it seriously anymore because it's not us.
It's not us, yeah. And the other thing I've noticed about that is You know, so if we talk about the place of time kind of as a space, mm-hmm. you know, like there's a space in which none of that stuff is real. Mm-hmm. We can see it, you know, we can see it as it's going on, mm-hmm. but we're not it.
Yeah.
It's amazing how generous life is mm-hmm. to us when yes. we're in that space, mm-hmm. even on like a tangible level. Just stuff shows up. Like we're talking about the, you know, it's okay to have yeah. what you want. You know, things just show up that, like, well, I mean, I can't, there's no way I could say that I need this.
Yeah.
But thank you. I am yeah. so glad to have this.
Well, it's like one process doesn't lead to another. Well, the one process leads to more of the same process. So being open mm-hmm. to life for those kinds of insights leads to being open to life presenting those kinds of insights.
So and I'm anything else out. That it
yeah, exactly. Reason. It's literally, if I block stuff away from my view, I'm blocking life out from my view. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a process of blocking going on. Mm-hmm. But if I'm living in a place of open, like, okay, yeah, show me what. I'll see stuff that conditioning will just not be thrilled with, which will be its response. But my response would be just more insights to that just keep dropping into that space you're mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah, and every time that happens, it feels good. There's exactly. like a little energy burst.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, cool. That's the part it's hard to sell for folks. It's like, mm-hmm. how do you describe that? You know, you just become a clearing for insights to drop in, and you're just with the flow, and you know, there's not a blocked conduit anymore.
So. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyway, thanks.
Sequoia.
Well, on the recording and listening thing, that was great. I've been working with having the recorder on all night.
Oh, good, yes. Yeah.
And we've been doing it for a while now. And there was extreme resistance in the beginning to doing that. And but a couple interesting things. Well, first of all, this morning, my batteries died. Some point, midnight, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. mid, and
it's probably the cold. It's not.
They probably just shut down to preserve their.
Yeah. We can.
And a little bit of a resistance arose to getting up and wandering around trying to rummage.
Trying to find some batteries.
Batteries.
Boy, I'd say.
So it was not in the earlier. You know, in the earlier part of the morning. And interestingly enough, I saw myself waking up in familiar body sensations that hadn't been around for a while.
Really? That's yeah. fascinating.
It is fascinating. Just a lot of sensations normally associated with anxiety and,
that hadn't been happening.
Before. Hadn't been happening over the last month.
So, do you mind if I ask you about that? Because mm-hmm. this is fascinating to me, and I want to be heading down the same track. So do you feel like do you have the volume up loud enough that you can hear the words?
Yeah, that's been an interesting process too, because when I started, it was like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to sleep with this person mm-hmm. yattering at me all night. and I put it under my pillow, and you know, I had the voice down, and I could hear it, but it wasn't like, and actually, but over time, I'm able to set it right next to my bed with the volume up. Like I'm talking right now.
So
yeah,
it's plenty loud.
It's full on. Full on loud.
Did you have trouble sleeping in the beginning?
Yeah, at first, but not long.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, you have been lit a fire under me.
Yeah. So now it's just like there. It's my friend there. You know. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting too. I wake up in the middle of the night, and of course I wake into different little segments of the tape. You know, it's not like I haven't been hearing the whole long, continuous
track. Because I've been asleep.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I've been asleep, and I'll just wake up and to just, it's just bringing more awareness, to different, to different folks that talk into the recorder. Mm-hmm. Like, I really catch the different changes in the voice. Mm-hmm. And so I'll wake up and go, who the heck is that talking? You know, and it's like I almost don't recognize.
It's like you're coming in from the void, basically.
Yeah.
And into that karma. And you, is that how it is?
Yes. And I can, I'm getting more of a sense of sometimes like when it really is the mentor on the tape. And sometimes mm-hmm. I think I'm getting more of a sense of when a conditioning maybe has slipped in mm-hmm. to the recording. I can really hear that.
So you're having insights on that level in the middle of the night when you're waking up.
Right.
So it's not just that you're like, feel supported by a loving presence and all that. Is that going on too?
That's going on too.
Mm-hmm. But also, you're actually waking up into these insights because of the, you're waking up into that recording.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, because it's, I don't know, because it's, I'm waking up and I think when I just listen it during the day and it's just one continuous, you know, flow of words, I'm not catching, but it's, something else is arising just waking up and hearing it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And, and I have been noticing just what was just being spoken about it, of that. Of particular, it's, for me, it's okay. So this is conditioned mind coming and saying it's taken a while, but you know it takes as long as it takes. And I've been recording certain processes and now just really seeing, oh my gosh, that's it again. That's it. You know, and especially a lot around waking up in the morning and what comes up around that. And this morning gave me that great opportunity to see how that had just been a process of waking up into anxiety and, you know.
Which had faded to some extent.
It's faded to some extent, yeah.
And you don't think I hadn't even really noticed.
Yeah.
But until today, your battery's died and suddenly there it is, it's back again.
My battery's died, that's a pretty good analogy, yeah. So it's really fascinating, and I feel like as a tool, a practice tool, it's just like it just keeps deepening. There's just continuing areas to explore with it, and that are just really invaluable. And I love, I have a number of recorders now. Some of them not so fancy, some of them more fancy, and. And I have this one particular older recorder, and all you have to do is record, like, you know, any length on it, 30 seconds, and then you hold the button down, and it'll repeat it over and over and over again.
Oh, really?
That's invaluable.
Mm. How have you, I've been actually trying to figure out a way to do that. How have you been using that?
Well, I think it has to do with the model number and the type, but this particular recorder, when you press play, it starts to play, and then you press the play button again, and you just hold it down, and a little sign appears on the printout saying, showing a loop, and it'll just keep going. And so I use that when I'm sleeping all night. If I want to stay in a particular, on a particular focus.
Oh, okay.
And I've been using that for, I've been focusing on, it's not about getting it right, it's about being here. And to just support me in that, and so I will record a loop about that, and then I'll press
like one recording.
I'll have it go on all night.
Wow!
The same thing over and over and over again.
Boy, talk about what's that? You know, the reinforcement, the can't remember what they call that, but
yeah, brainwashing.
Well, whatever it takes, especially to get past something like that.
Yeah. You know? It's funny because I just went home on a visit recently, and I warned my daughter in advance. I said, you know, I'm on a brainwashing campaign here, and you know, I'm gonna be listening to the recorder a lot because, you know, I said, you know, I always had this tendency to like maybe go to the not so positive, and you know how it works. So I'm just trying to direct my attention into. And she goes, wow, I think you really need that, Mom. And so she was really supportive. And the interesting thing that when I was there, when I was home visiting her, I was really practicing very diligently with this. And at one point when I was home, I happened to have an interaction with the guy, and she said, ask your daughter if she sees any difference. And I said, do you see any difference? She goes, no. And so I was kind of disappointed, but I got back home and and a phone call about a week later. She goes, Mom, you know what? I was just in a bad mood when you asked me that. She goes, but I want to tell you something. I saw a huge difference. She goes, there was just such a big difference. Mm-hmm. You were not finding things to complain about. Things that were wrong.
It's humbling, isn't it? We just want to see.
And that you were just way more fun to be around.
God, that is great.
So,
yeah. Boy, talk about it. I mean, we don't necessarily, I suppose, we don't need a little perks along the way to help us along the way, but sure, it's nice to have them, isn't it?
Yeah, that was really cool. So, me and my recorder all the way.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for checking in about the overnight thing, because I'm really interested in that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know your name. I'm sorry.
Emily.
Okay, Emily.
So, I want to go a little bit back to that conversation about karma earlier. I want to get a little clarity. I feel like I have a huge karmic debt to pay from, folly of youth and all of that.
Okay.
And it occurs to me now that maybe I don't have to just keep paying that.
God, no.
Over and over and over again, that you can just transcend that karma, yeah. Actually.
I think probably getting beat up over it one time was sufficient.
You think, God, you think. Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, that's powerful, isn't it? I mean, that's life liberating right there.
It really is. It's a relief.
Mm-hmm. It's a total made-up thing. It's just a self-torture system.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize that because, we have a thought about it that seems true. Say, well, I have this karmic debt to pay. I did something wrong, it sounds like, or something bad. Or
lots of little tiny things.
lots of little tiny things, which equals, I don't know what it is. For me, it would be I'm a bad person or something, and so now I have to sort of somehow compensate for that. But that whole thing is just a lie.
Yeah.
It's just a setup for suffering and unhappiness. That's all it is.
It's really just something that conditioning makes up for you. It's a really eye-opening to, it's wonderful. I was just talking about this on the way here this morning, about this very thing. So mm-hmm. It has been really eye-opening for me. And I kind of thought that was the case, that I just need to forgive and accept this person now, this person that's here now, and move on from whatever past transgressions.
Yeah, well, and that wasn't even you.
No, it wasn't actually. I mean, it's such a completely different person that was there then.
Mm-hmm. Who was, I betcha anything, doing the very best she could with what she had?
Who just wasn't aware.
And wasn't aware.
She just didn't have the awareness around those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a relief. It's just a... So I just wanted to clarify and make sure that I understood correctly and that is the case, that you can just simply become a person who's not bound to karma anymore.
So. Yeah, and it's going to take some practice in directing the attention.
Definitely.
Because it's, I wish it could be that, we see something like that and then it's just over.
Yeah.
But it isn't, because the habit, you've got, I don't know how long it's been, but you've got years of practicing that shift in your attention back to that place and feeling bad over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That's going to have to break that habit. And that's going to take some work with your attention and also with the kind of compassion that you're obviously bringing to this. And those two things together, that's a dynamite combination.
Yeah.
The understanding that, she was doing, that person, whoever she was doing the best she could, is completely okay. Person who you are now, same thing, doing the best she can, completely okay. And the growing ability to direct the attention away from just that habit of self-hate and suffering into the present where none of that stuff is actually going on at all.
And it takes time, and it's the awareness, the reminding of this, and the when you become aware that you are in that cycle, to let it go, to drop it, then
mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just the awareness and realizing that there is no debt to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing to be made up for. There is nothing to, there's nothing to, there's no hurdle. There's no...
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
It's completely made up. It's made up with an agenda, which is to ruin your life.
Yes.
And but that's it. That's the only reason it's there. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, that something that seems so real like that can just fall apart when we really question it and we really look.
I just feel so relieved. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
It is a relief,
isn't it? It is.
So good to be reminded. One thing I've been looking at, especially as you guys were talking, so I've been practicing directing my attention. And one thing I've been noticing about it is that I held a belief of what directing the attention was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And ego talked me into that it was going to mean denial.
Okay.
So I hadn't seen that, but it's suddenly saying, well, if you direct your attention, you're going to miss out on what's really happening. Can you believe it?
Yeah,
and I got talked into it.
Uh-huh. Just to point out the obvious, that's the place where your attention wasn't.
Right. Thank you, Dan. What I have been seeing about it is that... And when I keep my attention on, in my case, it's joyful contentment, that what it seems like has happened is I've put glasses on that actually hold and allow me to better map the conditioning that's not telling me the truth.
Okay, let me see if I'm with you, because I was actually going to kind of the same place. So,
contentment.
Joyful contentment. Okay. So you're practicing turning your attention to joyful contentment,
mm-hmm.
but it's implied in what you're saying is you're not doing it in a way that excludes awareness of conditioning, what conditioning is up to. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. That movement towards joyful contentment, it makes your attention available for what conditioning is up to that might try to pull you out of it.
It makes it's interesting. It soothes the person who's believing the self-hatred or the condition.
Mm-hmm.
So she is, there's relief, and it feels like soothing.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And at the same time, there's interest. And almost like the spirit of inquiry, I mean, I think it probably is the spirit of inquiry, you know how those words can all take us to the same place, whichever ones we land on, whatever year it is, but it seems like that there still is that spirit of inquiry, like, all right, this is it, this is it, this is the thing that is here for me to see right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can rest my attention, or my awareness, I'm not sure. I can rest in joyful contentment,
mm-hmm.
and still see that there is suffering that is, or pain. Maybe it's more pain. I'm not sure.
Well, I think what you're saying, tell me if I'm right about this, is you're looking at it from outside of it instead of from inside of it.
From outside of it without judgment.
Without judgment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have... or awareness as, or however we want to talk about that, gone in and taken that part of you who believes the self-hate about it by the hand and led her into this place of joyful contentment.
Simply by moving my attention to joyful contentment. Mm-hmm. Now,
so she goes with that attention.
That's right.
She gets to be in joyful contentment. Mm-hmm. So the karma is not getting triggered to such a believable extent because she is kind of, it's not like she's in denial or anything, you know, it's not
which
like,
is what it told me was going to happen.
Right, yeah, it's actually, she's here, she's in what is.
And she's listened to in a way where the story isn't believed. It's like, she's affirmed.
Mm-hmm. She's affirmed.
But there's no story with it.
Right.
Whereas before, I think what I would do is, when these subpersonality, when this stuff came up, I would sort of become I,
mm-hmm.
and attend to it from a place of believing the story.
Mm-hmm.
So when people were talking about, you know, the story isn't true, I mean, I do a lot of recording about it's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, what we the truth is we're living in joyful contentment and you're a student of Zen and you can go to group this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, or you can sit for this or you can keep your commitment or whatever. You know, it's not true that it would be better to sit by the fire even mm-hmm. though it's really cold outside. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do a lot of recording about that. But it seems like resting the attention on joyful contentment is like almost offering what is real.
Yeah, to her.
To her.
So who you are in that, you're aware of both worlds.
Yeah, it seems like it.
She really isn't so much. She's mm-hmm. just either she's in the story or has been kind of...
she's relieved, I think. Mm-hmm. There is that thing, I think that's why I resonated with that word of relief. Like mm-hmm. there is an experience of, huh, relieved.
Yeah. Boy, that's just such a grown-up place, it occurs to me. Mm-hmm. That place from which we can see both worlds. And, you know, that's the place where we can make a decision about that.
Right. Too. See rather than try and run from. I could relate right. with that. Because it's not real.
It's totally not real.
And so, but I remember when I lived at the monastery, I believed it so often, and then finally there was a stopping and, kill me then! Let the robbers and the bears and the rattlesnakes and the bats jump out now!
This is what happens in the summer.
I was low in winter. I was always cold, but I thought,
no critters.
No critters. Spring, summer. Yeah, so, but I have the tool because of recording and listening, actually. I would add now, because it's not real.
It's not here.
You who are telling me these things aren't real, and when I see them, they're actually cute. Mm-hmm. You're lying to me. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd known that then, but you know, it was a lot of years ago.
Well, like somebody said, it takes as long as it takes.
Yeah, we can add it to our recordings mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. Because both are important to see. Mm-hmm. At least they have been covered in the way you were talking about levels. I mean, mm-hmm. it's important to begin to see the system.
For sure.
So that we can know that it's what's causing me to suffer.
And important to take it apart, important to question it, dismantle it, all that work that we do. Mm-hmm. And then also important to be willing to let that go.
Right.
When it's time to just be and be happy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and just pay attention. So anyway, that's all.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.